You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Such happy thoughts for this Advent season. In the lesson from Isaiah, we hear these words. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. And then we have unquenchable fire, burning chaff, winnowing forks. These are among the things that John the Baptist talked about when he was preaching repentance and baptizing people in today's gospel lesson. John came speaking and baptizing in preparation for Jesus' coming. Yes, true, Jesus was already among them, and some of them knew him. But John is preparing the way for Jesus' earthly ministry. John is using language to stir up people, to get their attention. And all of that is so that he can point people to Christ. John's job was to tell people to prepare for the coming of the Messiah, God's holy chosen one. Yes, of course, people had heard this before, and every time they'd been disappointed. But this time was different because this time it was because God said it was time. It makes a difference when you prepare for the right thing in the right time and when you don't. There was one couple, Bob and Lynn, who were moved by their pastor's message. Every pastor likes to think about that. Moved by their pastor's message to show Christian love to your neighbors. So when they got home from church, they saw a moving van in front of the house across the street, decided to display their Christian love that they were newly excited about. So Lynn went ahead and made some homemade bread, and together she and Bob went across the street. When someone answered the door, Lynn said, "Hi, we wanted to welcome you to our neighborhood. Here's some bread for you." The woman who answered the door said, "Thank you very much for your kindness. However, this is a little embarrassing. Because you see, we've lived here for 8 years. We're moving out, not moving in." Bob and Lynn went prepared. Yeah, they were prepared all right. But they were prepared for the wrong occasion. That's the difference in today's gospel lesson and what John the Baptist was about. He was preparing people for the right thing at the right time. Jesus was the true Messiah of God, the Lamb of God that we just sang about, the Lamb of God who had come into the world to take away the sins of the world. Bob and Lynn's hearts and intentions were in the right place, but they simply weren't prepared for the proper occasion. In the gospel lesson, we read about large crowds coming to John, confessing their sins, and being baptized. They were preparing based on the truth that John was preaching to them, that had been given to God to preach. And what John preached was one thing. Repentance. Repentance. That was the proper way to prepare for the coming of the Christ. And most of those who came to the desert to see John followed what he said. Most, but not all. It says that there were those of the Pharisees and the Sadducees among John's congregation on that particular day. When John saw them, he talked of them as a brood of vipers. That was also mentioned in the gospel or in the Old Testament lesson of the day. A brood of vipers who had come to flee the wrath that was to come. Now I want you to listen to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. When Adam and Eve were deceived in the garden. It says there, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals." And then we skipped ahead to verses 14 and 15. And in part they read, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel.'" Right here in Genesis, you see the snake, the serpent, the viper that deceived Adam and Eve. I don't think that John choosing that viper metaphor came out of thin air when he was speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This would have been something that all the people would know about. And John was preparing the people for the coming of the one promised in that passage in Genesis. Jesus, the coming one, was the one promised from the day of the fall of man into sin, who would crush the snake's, the viper's head, and so defeat sin. That promised wrath was coming, John said. Sin was about to be destroyed, and it was time to prepare for that occasion. The man promised in Genesis 3 that would crush the snake's head, that would kill the viper that deceived Eve and Adam. That promised deliverer was coming. And with him was coming vengeance against sin. Preparing for that meant the same thing then that it does now. Repentance. Yes, we are in Advent and preparing for the coming of the Christ as the infant. But be reminded also that we prepare for Christ's return as the victor, the conqueror over sin, and the judge of all mankind. We need to also be preparing for that correct and right thing, that occasion. Let us not be lulled into a sense of self-satisfaction or pride as the Pharisees and Sadducees displayed with John. Take note in his talking with them that John equated his baptism with fleeing from the coming wrath of God. Baptism was presented as a form of salvation, of protection, of reconciliation with God. And it still is. The wrath of God has come as John said it would. And it was visited in all of its terrible consequences on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. God's wrath against sin was poured out on the head of the innocent babe born to Mary in Bethlehem. That was done for us and in our place. And it was done in order that we might indeed have his protection from that wrath against sin. Hear this clearly. It is only in his name that we have his protection against God's holy justice. And that is why baptism is done in his name. As John compared the leaders to vipers, that comparison of leaders to vipers, let us compare the sin that we brought into the world to another creature, The giant water bug. The giant water bug is a beetle that eats insects, tadpoles, fish, frogs. It has those grasping forelegs that are hooked inward to seize a victim and hold it tight. The giant water bug then, with a vicious bite, injects its victim with enzymes that paralyze it. It only takes one bite. And the poison that shoots through this one puncture dissolves the victim's muscles and bones and organs. Everything except the skin. The water bug then sucks out the victim's body that's been reduced to juice. Well, like this bug, our sins can paralyze our spirit. It too can destroy us from within, and sooner or later, sucks the life right out of us. In order to prepare for the coming of the Lord, we do as John preached, be baptized for repentance and to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And when we are baptized in the name of the triune God, the kingdom of God comes to us. And that kingdom, which comes to us in the name of Jesus Christ alone, is what we need in order to be protected from the wrath that will come when Jesus returns a second time, as he has promised to do. He has come once to Bethlehem, as promised. And as John preached in preparation for Jesus' ministry and work on earth. And he will come again. And when he does, we're promised that it will be to judge the nations and all people. Folks today don't like that idea much. But then again, they didn't like the idea of the Messiah coming as a baby either. There's just no pleasing us, is there? And being prepared through repentance is also something that, well, we'd like to skip. The grandmother who stands by the front room window watching for the arrival of the family for Christmas dinner is not going to be nearly as prepared as the grandmother in the kitchen who's basting the turkey and doing all the preparatory things for the arrival of her family and friends. John was calling people to be properly prepared for the coming of the Christ. And that meant to repent, to turn from sin and all of sin's paralyzing ways. Now, the Pharisees were known for their paralyzing legalism and self-righteousness. The Sadducees were known for their skepticism and their moral laxness, like many today who think that God's law doesn't mean much. Neither of these groups came out to John to confess their sins. That is crystal clear from the context. No wonder John called them products of deadly snakes. They were like the rebellious Israelites who had come before them, and like the snake in the garden, they were deadly to themselves, they were deadly to others. Jesus came once to deliver the world as promised in Genesis, and Jesus is coming again. And he has delivered to us. He has delivered to us the righteousness we need that no amount of works put to us by the law, the Pharisees, or anyone else can accomplish. Only the free gift that Jesus came to give us, that's what properly prepares us. Only the gift of his robe of righteousness does that preparation. Dressed in God's gift of Christ's righteousness. We're to demonstrate a different kind of life than unbelievers. Again, we don't do this to earn God's love or to impress others, but we do it to give witness to others of God's abundant and free grace, His mercy, and His forgiveness to all people. The story is told in Spain of a father and his teenage son whose relationship had become strained, so much so that the son ran away from home. His father, however, journeyed far and wide throughout the country and searched for his rebellious boy. Finally, when he got to Madrid, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the newspaper. The ad said this: "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." The next day at noon, 800 Pacos showed up. They were all seeking forgiveness and love from their fathers. What a wonderful gift is forgiveness. All people crave this gift. And this gift is yours. It's yours. Though you've strayed from the love of your Heavenly Father, He seeks you out. And He will not rest until you are safe within His arms. To make you ready for the day of judgment, you have been awakened and given a new suit of clothes. You've been dressed in the righteousness and forgiveness of Christ Jesus. You are ready. You are properly prepared as you live in the grace of God given to you in your baptism. The grace of God passes over our sins and it gives us the freedom, listen, it gives us the freedom to pass sin by. That grace to us is totally free. And it allows God to pass over our sin and to pass over the sins of all the world. But that grace was not free to God. It cost Him. It cost Him the life of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, which was the culmination of Christ's earthly ministry. And His gift of freedom and forgiveness is yours right now. And you're free to give that gift away to others who, like you and I, need it because we've all been bitten by sin. This day, and every day in Advent is a wonderful day to celebrate the love of God freely given to us as Jesus comes to us. Advent prepares us to remember Jesus' first coming. And in so doing, we're being prepared for His second coming. Now, in His first coming, He came to a specific place, to Bethlehem. That is what this week's Advent candle reminds us of. It recalls for us that Jesus came in fulfillment of the promises as we spoke about last week. He came once, and He will do so again. He is the new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven and call us to Himself, call us home. And our preparation for that second coming is always ongoing in our lives. John called the people to repentance. Remember that Luther said that repentance is the way of life for all who would follow after Jesus Christ. So our preparation for Jesus's return comes by following John's words today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart.